So it is it's spring, it's fall. How can you tell? It's a full Sunday, and we are just excited. But you know what? We love our ministries here because we desire both to grow and to reach out into our communities. And so we always have room for our ministries here and to present them and to bring in ministries like Youth Unlimited, which is just has had quite a history with this church and is a phenomenal ministry. And so we're just have you been blessed already this morning? Come on. That's right. Well, I want to open up the word to you here, but before I do, I have a word or a phrase we're going to put up here on the wall. These screens do not like me. Know thyself. Has anybody ever heard that before? Anybody know where it comes from? Me neither. But I do know that it was written on the walls of the Temple of Apollo, along with a couple other phrases. But this was one that was written there. And throughout time, as time tends to do, it has been changed as from original meaning, I'm assuming. But it has gone to more like from an idea of know your measure, know who you are, to know who you are, but for a different reason. And actually, one of those reasons is somebody put it in a poem sometime to say, know who you are, or know thyself, so that you will know your Lord, or that you will know your God even. But it's not the way that you would think about that. Basically, the idea was the more you know yourself, the more you can control the thoughts that you have or the things that are in your mind so that you become God of your own life, master of your own life, master of what you do. I believe others have a similar understanding. We could take this phrase, know thyself, and we can look at it in different ways. I'm going to sit down. I got a bit of a bad back. We can look at it in a similar to that, but obviously, as you may follow, we look at it from the realm of know thyself in order that I may know my Lord. Now, from a Christian perspective, and we'll get to that. Know yourself to the point that of being master of all things, you realize, your realization is that we come to the place of understanding that I can't actually master myself. I can't. I can't master where my mind goes all of the time. Sometimes my mind goes to the wrong place. Sometimes my actions are not always the right action, even though I can know myself quite well. One of the standout terms as I read through a bunch of these uses of this idea of know thyself that I came to, one of the main realizations was that they always spoke about behavior, how we behave. Know thyself so in order that you may control the way you behave, or know yourself so that you can be disciplined, so that you can, you know, control what goes on in your mind, so that you can act a certain way. You can behave a certain way. You can control how you behave. A deep knowledge of who you are gives you a deep knowledge and hopefully some control over how you would respond to circumstances of life. So take, for example, if you are a hunter and you get your bow, you get your arrows, you go to your tree stand, and you are sitting there. And who's been in this situation? Eldon? All right. And the buck comes out, the buck of a lifetime. You know, as I know, that in order to not get so excited that you yell and you let the adrenaline take hold of you so much so that you shake, that you drop the bow, and eventually you fall out of the tree. And the buck runs away, is that you know the big buck is exciting, and it is something. And so you control. Hopefully you can control your behavior. You can take a deep breath. You know, you can be calm. You can remain. You can take your shot. So understanding that you have a propensity or a way to get excited, you can control the behavior. Knowing who we are gives us a measure of control over the way we behave. Does that make sense? You follow me? No? It's okay. We'll figure it out. Knowing others also gives us a measure of control in how they behave. So, and I'm thinking specifically of our family, parenting. Think of parenting. My parents are here. Think of parenting. Mom and Dad, you can think back to parenting my brother and sister because I was perfect, and so there was no trouble. But basically, all of parenting is trying to teach our children to behave properly. Right? Think about your ride to church this morning. Those of you with kids. You know, all right, we're going to church. We got to behave. We don't want people to know how it really is at our house. Well, think about it in different contexts. So home, you go home. We teach our children, you know, we want to clean up after yourselves. You know, you want to, clean your room. It's a whole lot of cleaning when we think about home. But think about school, depending on how, you know, it depends on how they form relationships. You know, behave yourself. We want you to hang out with the kids that are good influences and be a kid of good influence by your actions and how you replace. Be a hard worker. Be respectful. Don't destroy anything, you know? You ever had that thought? Just don't destroy anything, please. And then, of course, church. You know what? We come to church. Be good. Don't embarrass the family or something like that. I want you to think about that within the context of the Christian life. How, knowing ourselves, we kind of control how we behave. Behavior is a major component within Christianity. It's a major component when we read the Bible. It talks a lot about our behavior and how we behave. Don't do this, or, you know, this is how you should do, or this is how you should, you know, act. When you take, you know, communion, this is what you should do, this is how you should behave. Those sorts of things. A lot of the Bible is about how we should and should not behave. And I think we can all relate, or at the very least understand, how difficult navigating our behavior can be in the context of our lives. It's because we know ourselves so well. So when we read the Bible and it says, you know, behavior this way, behave this way, you shouldn't probably do this, we know ourselves, and so we know that we will struggle with that. And sometimes our behavior is going to be countercultural to what the scriptures say. And that's a bit of a problem. I mean, you think about where guilt comes from. You think about where shame comes from. It's the fact that we were not able to control our actions, our behavior, and they went countercultural to what the scriptures said. And it led to some guilt, maybe, for you. Led to some shame. Led to the, I don't know if I can live up to this standard. I know me. I know me. I know a lot of the areas in which I struggle. I know some of the thoughts that I have are not always good Christian thoughts. You know what? Honestly, I honestly think to myself sometimes, it's a good thing my brain does not have a megaphone just connected to it. Does anyone else ever think that? Just me? Yeah, there's a few hands. Yeah, it's a good idea. And I'm glad that God didn't create us that way. We know who we are. We know when we get into places where we struggle. We know the thoughts we can have. We can be jealous sometimes. We can be disrespectful in our thoughts. We can be lustful. We can be angry. We can be all of these things that we struggle with that come into our lives and affect our behavior. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged with ourselves because we have the ability to behave our way into trouble a lot. And we know it. And so we do things to try to help us to behave properly. We spend time in the Word. We spend time reading the Scriptures. We spend time doing devotions, our devotionals. Reading and learning and trying to, you know, put in there, how do we act like followers of Christ? How do we act like Christ? We do small groups. We do accountability groups so that we can go and actually share some of those things that we're feeling and be like, this is actually what I'm feeling on a day-to-day basis. And with other people who also feel those things, and it creates a place of of accountability, but also authenticity. And we look for those opportunities in those places. We go to places where we can share openly and intimately so that we can be iron sharpening other iron and they can be iron sharpening us. And those are good things to do. Because in the end, behavior matters. You know, Scripture would not talk about it so much if it didn't matter. It does matter. The way we behave matters. And to be clear, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking that we can behave our way into salvation. Or we can earn our way into salvation. That's not where I am. There is, our belief in Jesus Christ is what leads us into salvation. And our belief that we know we cannot behave our way in is what leads us into salvation with Jesus Christ. But behavior does matter moving out of that point in how we react with one another, how we build relationships, and how we treat each other. I'm picking on parents, but, let's go back. Parenting 101. We desire to build up our kids to be good, well-behaved young adults. If they misbehave, we don't just send them out to find the nearest lake of fire to cast them into. Do we? Do we do that? No. We challenge, we bring them in, we work on correcting behavior, we work on building them up, strengthening them. At least we should. I know we don't, doesn't always, that sounds wonderful, right? Yeah, I never yell at my kids. But, you know what I mean. That is our desire, our heart's desire. Because behavior matters for their own good. Because we can foresee things that we've lived through and we can see that we want them to avoid. And so we know that for their own good, that way they behave and how they react and how they deal with life matters. We want them to live relationally with others in good relationships. And we want them to be able to get along and have good lives. And it's the same with God when He looks at each and every one of us. We desire to get along with God and with other Christians and with other people. Our behavior doesn't save us, but it does matter. If it didn't matter, there wouldn't be so much written about it. It wouldn't be filling in the pages of the Scripture so much. But it is. There's a problem. There's a problem with behavior. And it's a big problem. For a lot of Christians, how they behave becomes their whole Christian walk. It's the be-all and end-all. They do what they can to behave well, and then that's it. You might relate to this. Well, as long as I'm a good person, I go to church, I treat people the way they should be treated, I run my business with good ethics, I behave well in all my areas of life, I'm doing well. Behaving well becomes our calling. It becomes our purpose in life. I am set on this earth to behave well. To be well. To do well. To be a good person. And our Christian life becomes all about behavior. What if you just taught your children to behave godly? That was their purpose in life. To behave godly. Would you not get to a point where you would say there's something a little bit deeper than just doing the right thing? I love the story about the Apostle Paul. He's one of my all-time favorite people of the Bible. Besides Jesus, I just love his story. I'm not Paul. I'm not a Paul. The Apostle Paul is I envision him to be this type A personality. He is hair on fire. He is passion. He is go. He is not afraid. I mean, he says he is, but I don't believe him. In the things that he does, the places he goes, he is unafraid. And he is just he's a go-getter. I'm much more myself, know thyself. I am much more of a Barnabas type of person. I am, I would be quite happy, quite content for people to just be like, oh, James, yeah, he's the son of encouragement. I'm like, that That's perfect. I'm not Paul. But I think I would get along well with Paul. I think that we would be close, like Paul and Barnabas were, until we fought over John Mark, because that's something I would fight over. But I think that I fit much better as a Paul, as a Barnabas than a Paul. But I love Paul. And maybe because I'm not Paul, that's why I love him so much. But he has such an amazing story in the scriptures. And I'm not going to go over, because you know, most of you know the story of Paul and his, you know, his amazing conversion. But that's not what I really want to, I don't want to focus on that so much as who he is. Because who he is matters in this context that we're talking about this morning. Paul describes his life in Philippians chapter 3. He describes what he was. I mean, he was a man among men when it came to spiritual things. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he knew the languages. He knew everything that you know, most of the guys who were his peers kind of let go. He knew. And he goes through the whole thing. I was, you know, circumcised on the 8th day. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he was the guy. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Paul was a man of, like, you just didn't top him. This is who he was. And he worked hard. You could tell, to get to that point, to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he was a hard worker. He knew the law. He knew the law so much, in fact, that it says he not only did he know it, he followed it. He says that if he was to be a blameless person, according to the law, if anyone was to be blameless, he would be blameless. He followed the law. Paul knew thyself. He knew who he was. Even before he knew that Jesus knew who he was. He knew who he was. He was passionate, and he was disciplined, and he was on fire. And he would just go. I mean, he was zealous. I mean, he was zealous even in what he did. I mean, he tracked down Christians. He took apart churches. He put people in prison. He stood and watched a man be stoned. Paul knew thyself. He had mastered who he was, disciplined beyond discipline, to control his actions, to control his behavior. He said, I was righteous according to the law. If anyone thinks that they have confidence in who they are, they know themselves to be, in other words, Paul says, I have more. See, I don't think I would ever be able to say that. That's why I'm like, I'm not Paul. But he was the guy who would say something like that. Even if it was true, I don't know if I'd be able to say that, but he'd be able to say it. There's an immense value in knowing who you are and being able to behave properly. Like, it's just, if we could all do it to the best of our ability, I mean, it would be beneficial. He was able to accomplish a lot in what he was and who he was. It seems Paul was someone who never struggled, at least that's the impression I get when I read the scriptures, with who he was. What I love about Paul is that he never stopped at behavior. Even before he knew Christ, he didn't stop at behavior. And a lot of us do. For a lot of us, behavior is enough. He never stopped at that. He always translated behavior into purpose. He had a purpose. Even when he was persecuting the church, he had a purpose. He had a mission and a purpose and a calling. And that was his calling. It may not have been the right calling, but he had a calling and a purpose, and he understood it and he went after it. Even before he met Jesus. Paul was on fire. We move to our scriptures in Galatians 1, when Paul is describing his conversion for the sake of the churches in Galatia, who started to waver about, you know, if his teachings were true. He goes back and reiterates. He says, for I would have you know that, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that I was preaching by me is not man's gospel. It's not something I just thought up in my head, in other words. He says, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation in Jesus, of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I was persecuted, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. According to the law, Paul's behavior was spot on. And his purpose was to defend God at all costs. In his mind, that was his purpose. To defend God at all costs. Not a bad purpose. Just wasn't the right purpose. But then Christ met him. And a shift occurred. A shift occurred. Paul was still Paul. Same fire, same zeal, same passion, same hair on fire, 90 miles an hour, Paul. He was exactly who God had created him to be. Now listen to what he says. He says, but when he who had set me apart, now we know God had set him apart, right? You could tell when God met him on the road and the light came down and he was blinded, God had set him apart. He says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he gave him a new purpose. But that's not where Paul says that God set him apart. Paul says, when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace. His purpose changed in the instance where Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. Boom. His purpose all of a sudden changed. But Paul didn't change. Paul was who God had created him to be. And so his purpose changed. He didn't revert back to change behavior or to changing his behavior. He sought new purpose. His purpose was that I, he goes on to say in Galatians, that I might preach him, Jesus, among the Gentiles. I mean, he went and he didn't know. He didn't know right in that moment. The scriptures tell us that he went away. You know, he took a few years and he went and he studied. But he went and his purpose changed. Paul, the man, and his behavior stayed the same. He just had a new purpose. And I'm sure he had to deal with some things. I'm almost guaranteeing he had to deal with some things. Probably a little guilt. Probably a little shame. I'm sure some of those instances came back up and maybe he had to deal with them. But Paul, the zealous man on fire, desiring to behave in the right way, stayed the same. Paul let his purpose, rather than searching for the behavior to decide, you know, to get right so that he could have a purpose, he let his purpose drive his behavior. His purpose drove his behavior, which spoke to those around that God had done something in his life. So first it had spoke to the Pharisees who thought, oh, God's doing something in this man's life. Then he met Jesus. His purpose changed. It drove him. His purpose drove then his, his purpose drove his behavior. And people started to recognize God had done something in his life. Said he didn't go and see Peter. He didn't go and see the other apostles, not for a long time after. But they heard about him. They heard about him. They heard about this guy who was persecuting the church. And now he was actually witnessing for Jesus and changing people's lives and having a mass amount of people turn to Christ. His purpose changed his behavior. His purpose drove his behavior. But Paul's very clear. I mean, it behavior is important. We've already stated that. It's Paul who reminds us, continuously take off the old self and put on the new self. That's a behavioral statement. Continuously take off the old self and put on the new self. Behavior is important. Paul desires us to follow behavior. and to have good behavior. We also see Paul's struggles when he says the very relatable. Now, who can't relate to this? When Paul says this, he says, "For I do not understand my own actions." Have you been there? Have you looked back maybe over a segment of your life or something that's come out of your mouth or a situation that you've been in? "I don't understand my actions. I don't know why I can't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I hate." Has anybody been there? It's like, man, I just wish my behavior I just wish I could do the right thing because it's the right thing. Paul understood that. I mean, he'd been there. He knew. He knew that behavior was important and that we have to have good behavior. But Paul's very clear that behavior does not drive purpose. Purpose drives behavior. And there will be struggles with behavior. But we all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. We've all been called by God. And that calling is deeper than just, here's your calling, behave yourself. That's not the calling. Our calling is deeper than just behave yourself. Know thyself. You've been created by the very hands of God. Paul said, God knew him in his mother's womb. What did King David say? He said, God knit me together in my mother's womb. Sometimes I think we believe that, you know, who we are before we are a Christian, we need to just get rid of that whole thing. That's our whole old self, and get rid of it and become something new. And we are a new creation. But that God has established who we are from our birth, from when we were in the mother's womb. Some of those things are tied directly to your purpose of who you are. Know thyself. Who is God created and called you to be? Who has He created and called me to be? You have some homework this week, and basically forever. I want you to start asking the question. I want you to ask God. I want you to pray. I want you to listen. I want you to journal. I want you to ask your spouse. I want you to ask your children. Children, I want you to ask your parents. I want you to talk to your accountability groups, your small groups, the people that you trust, the people who know you, maybe not as good as you know yourselves, but might have a less skewed view of you than we often can have of ourselves. I want you to ask those people, who has God created me to be? I want you to listen to the answers. I don't want you to write down and write in stone. You know, somebody might... You might think somebody knows you better than they do, but I want you to start to listen. I want you to take those answers to prayer. I want you to pray about it. Who have you created me to be, God? From my mother's womb, who have you created me to be? I've encountered Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit within me. I want to fulfill my purpose. Who have you created me to be, and what have you created me to do? For some of you, this is not about doing more. And I know, I mean, I have a wife who is so busy. I mean, she is always doing mine. And I know sometimes you get up here and the pastor says, you need to do more. And you're just like, come on. When? God did not create an eighth day. There is no more time. Sometimes for you, it's not about doing more. It's possibly about doing what you're already doing, but doing it with purpose to glorify God, and not just because, oh, I have to do this. I have to go here. I have to homeschool the kids. I got to take the kids to school. I got to make lunches. I got to do all these things. God says, do all things as unto the Lord. It's not about doing more. For others of you, though, it may be that you're hiding. You're hiding a little bit about, you know, you're wanting for your behavior to straighten out. I gotta actually, you know what, I have to have good behavior before I can fulfill my purpose. You're living that opposite view. You're living as if your behavior drives your purpose. Well, you know what, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm perfect now, I can go and serve the Lord. Let purpose drive your behavior. God doesn't call the equipped. What does He do? He equips the called. Get going. Get going. No hiding. That was our youth verse last year. That's why I expected more of the youth to yell that out. And then there are some of you who are here this morning who are being called to do something more. You are being called to do something more. You've been sitting on the sidelines for too long. And God is saying, I've created you for purpose. I've created you for purpose. And you're like, I've created you to go to Black Falls and take up a position with Youth Unlimited. I don't know if that's it. I'm not saying that that's it. But I have created you for purpose. It's time. It's time to step in and step up. You know, I want to close, but as I do, I want you to know why this is so important. Why this is so important for us as a church. Because we are not just individuals sitting here. As much as we want to just be like, no, Lord, my relationship with you is my relationship with you. It has no effect on other people. That's just not true. That's not what the Bible says. Your relationship with God and your desire to find your purpose and be living in your purpose has direct result on me. And Paul tells us this in very plain language when he says that we are the body of Christ. We're not individuals of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so when I am not seeking out and living in my purpose, I'm hiding, or I'm just not getting in the game, or I'm feeling like, you know, it's too much and I don't want to think of my life as purpose or purposeful. I can't even handle the thought to enter in. Then I am not being that part of the body that I'm supposed to be. And the body suffers when that happens. We don't live our lives in a vacuum with no effect on other people. We serve, we love, we have a relational God, and He desires us to be relational, to be interconnected, to be iron sharpening iron, to be lifting each other up, to be helping one another, to be giving encouragement, to be Paul's going out and evangelizing, getting stoned, and not that way, but stoned with rocks, thrown under in the sea. Sorry, I didn't mean when I said that. I gotta clarify that. You know, sunken in ships, because that happens a lot around here. We got a lot of water. Left to drown. There are those among us in our body who are those types of people. But we need to know thyself, know who God has created us to be, so that we can fulfill that role. So that we as the body together can be what we are supposed to be. In this community of Clive and beyond, we have a reach that goes beyond just this community, if you don't know that about our church. It's Paul who describes and he paints that picture for us of the body in 1 Corinthians. You can go and look at it and read. I'm not making it up. And he challenges us to be a body living out our calling together. We're called to more than just behave well or just to be good. Who has God created us to be? Who has He created you to be? That's the question that we should be striving to know. And then we should live that out as best we can. I want you to turn to someone right now. If you have somebody very close to you who knows you well, if there's someone around, and just ask this question: who has God created me to be? Did I lose you? Jamie's sitting by himself. Who has God created me to be, Jamie? Let's answer that question for each other. Be encouraging to each other. The body needs that. We need that of one another to live out our purpose and to be true followers of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each and every person here. And Lord, I know, because I know I've struggled with it in my own life, and I know that I'm not alone. I know others struggle with it. That who you've created us to be and what is our purpose and what are we supposed to do with this life? That's a question, Lord, that is often asked, but we need answers to that. And I pray that you would lift up people in our lives who are not afraid to tell us the truth, who are not afraid to speak And Lord, those lies that we've been believing in our life, that from maybe from early childhood, that says we're not good enough, we're not worthy, God will not use me until I can not do A or not do B, Lord, take those away from us. Know that we are called to step out, that we are called to let the purpose you've given us drive our behavior and not the other way around. And Lord, I pray for boldness. I pray for encouragement. I pray that this body just expresses those desires to each other, and that what flows out of it flows out of this place and into the streets of Clive and beyond. Lord, everywhere our hands touch, may we be the body that you've desired us to be. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.